You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29. In the process, just an announcement to help you understand. We're working on the 6 o'clock time, and in the process, we have to understand that we have, because of the nursery, the low grades, we've got people that are missing the services 3 out of 4 because they have to be in each, that we don't have enough help to do it. So, and to add a fourth service at this point, and fifth service, it just means it's spreading out. And the trouble is, you aren't 15, 20 years old anymore. So you're doing the best you can. But so we have to be conscious of that, so we can do what we can do. Otherwise, it isn't worth doing it because you're going to wear everybody out. So we hope you understand that. We're working on it, and we just do the best we can. And actually, as you get older, in case you didn't understand, all of the things you did at age 20 are all gone. Do you understand that? So just be of good cheer, won't you? So, in our exercise, Jeremiah, and God encourages the people of Jerusalem and Judah, as we shared in chapter 29. He gave them his wonderful plan. He gave them the reason why they were going into captivity. Some were, and some already, and people would be, in Babylon. And he encouraged them. He had a plan, and you have to go with the plan because it's God's plan, and it's a good plan, and it's in a wonderful plan and a good plan, as I said. And they're going to get back into the relationship with God that they had before they were in captivity. In captivity, they have no temple, no sacrifice, no, just Ezekiel. Oh, they don't have anything. So, now, in the light of that, so my question then, as we proceed, picking up, please, in verse 15. 29:15. Because you have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Now, so they're looking. So my question then to us, to me, is, why is this happening? God has given them wonderful news. You have to go by the plan and stay on course, and you'll be wonderfully, everything's going to be good. Not bad, but good. But they aren't going to do it. The prophets in Jerusalem are giving the wrong message. The prophets over in Babylon, they're in both places, and they're giving the wrong message. And so the people of Israel, people of Jerusalem, is Nebuchadnezzar going to stop his attack? No, he's going to finish it. God said he's going to finish it because he knows the heart of the people. So therefore, in the light of that, why? Why are the false prophets so potent? Why are they able to do what they do? Over to Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 3, and you would remember that God had said clearly, you know what, all right, chapter 2, verse 17, God's one thing, he said, do this one thing, to show that you understand God's wonderful person. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. 4. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Or dying, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to die physically. You're going to die the second death. You're going to die. Dying, you're going to die. So, having said that, and they did eat, as you know, Eve and Adam. But before that, How does he handle it? How do you handle somebody that's in the will of God and you're going to enjoy an awesome future, privilege indeed? Now, chapter 3, and you'll remember in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And you want to just take that little clause, hath God said. Good question. What did God say? How did you hear him? Therefore, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now God, the devil, did two things. One, hath God said, I want you to think about, did you really understand God? Did God really mean what he said? And then, verse 3, turn it around to make it so you're very effective against Adam and Eve. God has said. Well, God has said, and then he added, the day you touch of it, you'll die, and that was not true. You could have played football, whatever the fruit was, and there'd be no problem. Just don't eat of it. So he does two things. Hath God said, you know, as you're reading, as people talk, and then did he really say that? And you add something to it. So you use God. That's what he did. His power in darkness of night, evil, the devil coming out in his, not like in the devil's food can, but coming out with all of his evil. That doesn't sell. That doesn't sell when he's exposed like that. But he doesn't come like that. Uses God. Hang on. Now, that's what the false prophets did in this case. They used God. That's what they did. That's how they got away with it. Now, while you're here, over to Genesis, and go with me to chapter 6. And may I remind you, our human thoughts, us humans apart from God, and Cain and all thereafter, they lost their fellowship with God, so they are living in the dark, they have no light. So I'm going to read verse 5 in the analysis of that. And God said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thought process, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So his whole thinking, so the human thinking, his God's thinking, what God said, God's going to wait 120 years to give him time to think, but they aren't going to change their thinking. They aren't going to pay attention to the God of truth and the truth of God. They don't want to know truth. They don't want to know. The whole ball of wax. We got Noah and his sons, that's it. They just don't want to know. Humans, in every culture, every country, humans. Don't want to know. Hang on. Chapter 8. Remember at the end of the Noahic flood, Noah and his family exit the ark, ultimately here. And chapter 8, picking up again a little thought again, as you know. Chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelt a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the reason, there's no sense in beating him over the head. There's no sense in giving them a scolding. There's no sense in giving them punishment. For the imagination, there's your little phrase again, Genesis 6, 5. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. neither will I again smite any more, will I smite any more everything living as I have done. I'm not going to do that, the Genesis flood again. I'm not going to do it. But they're evil continually. And then if you took over to Genesis 11, as you know, they built the tower in the city, and Genesis 11, and picking up, if I can, get the page, Genesis 11 and verse 4. Remember, all they're all together like they were in the days of Noah. All they are all scattered all over. They're all together, and they don't want to be scattered. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city, like Cain, Genesis 4, and a tower, reason to top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So they don't want to do what God told them, to spread out and populate the earth. They don't want to do that. And they're going to keep, and what do they have now? They didn't have in Genesis 6. They have a will for political and religious activity. You don't find that in Genesis 6. But after the flood, politic and religion become front runners. And then you go to chapter 10, and they're all doing the same. All the nations are doing what they're doing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, are there idols and idolatry? It's idols and idolatry. It's humans being neglectful and indifferent to God. So over to Romans chapter 1 for a moment, which you know, but may I point out something? Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, picking up, if I may, verse 18. That wonderful context, wonderful information. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, humans, who hold the truth in an unrighteous way. They know the truth, but they don't want to enjoy the truth or exercise the truth. They don't want to know it. In verse 19, 20, 21, God manifested, God makes itself known, makes himself known, God makes the truth known. They all know God, all those wonderful things as you read the context. Now, so God, here they are. And the verse 18, for the wrath of, they don't want to hold the truth, heaven to hold it in their hand, in their head, in their heart. Sliding down to verse 25. What did they do, among other things? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So they don't want to know the truth. We don't want to know the truth. That's what we don't want to know. That's us humans across the face of the earth. So you want to know how come we got so many different things politically, communism, Marxism, socialism, Islam, all of these different things. How we got all of these religions and everything, all kinds of thinking, all kinds of books written on philosophy, etc. So how come we got them? Because we're humans and we're busy thinking. God, who has given a plan for us humans, that we're made in his image and likeness, we're to enjoy his wonderful person. A God died for everyone to get saved, including Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. God died for them and every one of us. So, but every one of us, 7 billion or so, and a half or so, all on planet Earth, they don't want to, generally speaking. But they don't want to know. They don't want to know. Okay. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so they have ears to hear and eyes to see, but they don't hear, they don't see, as we should. And they don't want to understand. They don't want to understand. So, and they choose. They choose to hear and to see and to know and to understand what they want. So everyone's thinking as they do, how they do, of whatever they want to think, and they're doing it. So now, having said that, and keeping that, so the truth, we don't want the truth, but the false prophets in this case, not always, false prophets in the world don't do that, but in Israel, in order to get across and have some hearers and power, they had to say, the Lord said this, and the Lord said that, and the Lord did this. And so what do? There's prophets and priests speaking. Wow. So, in the light of that, over to John chapter 8. I'm trying to lock in the base foundation of humans and the God of this world. John chapter 8, may I go directly in the light of everything, verse 44. And I'll even read verse 43 for a little context. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You don't want to hear my word. You are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He don't want the truth. So, when you come to the devil doesn't want to know the truth. Doesn't want to know the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the God of this world is never going to tell you the truth. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he's never going to tell you the truth. He'll tell you a lot about science and all kinds of things, but never tell you the truth. So I got to get that part. Who am I going to listen to? I got to be careful how I have ears to hear. So, having said that, now lock it in even more. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians. And you'll remember, I'm going to read verse 4. What were they doing? For if he that cometh preacheth, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, don't be taken away, verse 3, from the simplicity, the single-heartedness of looking to God. Don't get all mixed up in your mind and heart. Lock on. God is God. He's the God of truth, the truth of God. Lock on to it. And verse 4. For he that cometh preacheth another, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, pay attention to what's going on and who you're hearing it. Because, why? Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So I don't read anything of evil or dark from the bad guys. I don't see anything dark in it. His account is, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So they aren't coming as Antichrist, they're coming as Christ. They're coming as a good guy. Verse 14. No marvel, for Satan himself, the boss, is transforming into an angel of light. So he isn't going to come as darkness, he's going to come as light. That's what he's going to do. And that's how he's going to do it. Otherwise, he won't make it. He won't get it. We can't do it. He has to come as a deception. And verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, servants, those that wait on the table like, also be transformed as ministers, servants, of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So we've got transforming. Verse 13, 14, 15. And we got them going from the apostles of Christ to the angel of light to ministers and servants of righteousness. So is it easy to get tricked? Sure it is. Because we're all humans. We're living after all these centuries. We're living, here we are, practicing our humanness. That's how we do it. Now keep going a little bit. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so go over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you add another piece. I want to know how come false prophets are so produce. They produced what? The whole nation, Jerusalem, Judah, to go into captivity. They succeeded. How powerful is the devil, like we said on Sunday, that in the millennium, that he alone will deceive the whole world, and you've got billions of people compared to now, because no one dies hardly for 1,000 years. So that's what he does. Us humans are humans, and we think, and the devil says, hath God said? Did God really say that? Or do you think it should be, is there something a little different than what God said? So therefore, here's the devil, the prince, the power of the air. And picking up, please, in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, you can't find it, to them that are lost, they don't understand the good news, they don't want to. In whom? The god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So they don't want to believe. That's the trouble. When you don't want to believe, you stay in darkness. Now, darkness is there. And in our world, especially now in the electronic technology world, all kinds of information comes by way of your little screens, big screens, and it's there. Every day, all night, endless information, endless stuff. Sometime it's true, sometime it isn't true, whatever. And all of it's there. And we're bombarded with it, day and night. And we're used to it. That's what we do. So there's all kinds of stuff being said, all kinds of things going on that are out there that we're listening to and being influenced about work, about home, about politics, about everything. We're just being influenced all the time about what the gas prices and everything. We're being influenced. So having said that, darkness. And what do we know without turning there in the Gospel of John? Men love darkness, what? Rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They're going to be exposed. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to be. And therefore, they're going to avoid. So having said that, they're going to avoid coming into the light. Darkness, darkness, darkness. The darkness, the voices, many things. So, us humans are in darkness, and God is light, 1 John 1:5, and him is no darkness. So, we're in darkness. Are we from darkness? Are we for darkness? Are we for light? I'll say it another way. Are we for truth? Are we for the truth? Because if we aren't for the light, then we're not for the truth. Am I for the light? For the truth. Light shows up. Now, what do we know about light? All the darkness in the world, if you had all the darkness in the world right here and turn the stars out, moon. Cut it all out. Boy, it's dark. It's dark. Now, and here's our light. Can that darkness do a thing to that light? I mean, I've got to tell you, it's 7 million zillion miles of darkness, and it can't do one thing. It can't touch that light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I'm going to switch it. You know that. Darkness can't put out light. But light can put out darkness. Turn the lights on. What happened to the darkness? Understand? What does God want to do to bring light into your life, into the person's life? And while you're here, I'll do that so I don't, may not get back to it. Verse 6. I'll read verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And then you're going to say, well, how can that be? If you believe, verse 3 and 4, and not to be unbelieving, but to believe, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And all the darkness in the world can't put that out. And when you get saved, all the bad and dumb, deep-rooted stuff in your head can never put out the light of Christ in you. So when you turn to Christ in your heart, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. The light is there. But all the darkness can't make it go away. So the evil, the dark, and gets darker. And we love darkness because we hate light. By that I mean we don't want to be in the light. Because then we got to change things. So we don't want to do that. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, over to Ephesians again. And in Ephesians, and chapter 2, and reminding us. Here we are, us humans. I tried to lay the background for you a little bit, us humans. And so us humans are doing all kinds of things. And in Ephesians chapter 2, God tells the believing, that's a wonderful, wonderful, to help us understand. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin. Wherein in time past, when you were unsaved, you walked according to the course of this world system, according to the prince, the ruler, the power, who has authority of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and they're not believing. And, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were all part of the system. And you get saved, and God saves you out of the system in a most wonderful way. So here's the world, and the world system's going, and they don't have any interest in light at all. They hate light. And the world system's not going to tell us anything. They don't want to. Of all the different things I get, you get things too, more than I do, I'm sure. And here's just one I thought was a little more outstanding than some. Different Southern Baptists and all different things are going with transgender and everything else in the pulpit all over the place. It's horrible. But this one, you'll like this. This is August 30, 2021. This is in the Harvard University, in their Harvard apparatus is the thing. And the premier Christian news, August 30, 2021. Harvard University in America has appointed an atheist chaplain to be its president of the chaplaincy. Now, there are over 40 chaplains that serve in Harvard, like teachers. They got them, Islamic, Hindu, and everything, all kinds. Now, I want you to know, as they read it, he was unanimously voted by all the different chaplains to be the chaplain. He's the head boss in Harvard. He's the chaplain. He's an atheist. And I'll give you a couple of his books he wrote. They wrote it down. A Good Without God. That's one of his books. And here's, this will be interesting. What a billion non-religious people believe, what they believe. We believe everything, and we should have a right to have everything, etc. Now that's a human in movement. In the days of Jeremiah, the false prophets were banging this out. And they didn't have the Bible in their hand like you do. And they didn't have the advantage on the other side of the cross like you do. And there they are, listening, and they're listening. And they're going to go and rebel and reject and end up, Nebuchadnezzar is going to go and level the city and the temple. So, and in the process, history is going to work itself out as it goes down the corridor of time, and we're going there now. So, where's the prophets? Well, we're listening. We're listening to all kinds of things, and they aren't prophets, because the prophets are sort of not too much, but about Matthew 24. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24. And you will note, please, in the giving an understanding of the tribulation coming up, what are we going to have? Well, here we have, now watch what's, remember now, in the tribulation, the church is gone, all believers, and the world isn't, I don't think, is going to care 2 cents. They should be quite glad, personally, I think. So, now, what's going to happen? Here's the congregational church, and each church, here they all are, ecumenism, this is part of this thing on Harvard, that's all part of it. We're all ecumenical, part of the system, and we're there. So now, I'm going to ask myself, if I live then, now, where do we find the truth? I want to know where the truth is. Well, where am I going to go for the truth? Well, now God, what is the devil going to do? So that he can, what now? He doesn't do it, no, because there's no need. But what are you going to do then? Because why? We don't have any, all we did is unite. We don't have a leader. We have the Antichrist, of course, but at that point it isn't as it would be. So therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go, chapter 4, 24, and in verse 4, answering the question, asking a question that tell us when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of his coming and of the end of the age, the world. Verse 4, and Jesus, 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that you be not deceived, that no man deceive you. For reason, many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must, M-U-S-T, come to pass, but the end isn't yet. You have to finish the program. Now, I did that the other day, the board, here we are, and you got to remember that. So here we are looking, here's history. I'm going to go back two or three years ago. And here's history, here's our country, here we are, and we're there. And we're all humans, busy in America, using America. And we're all busy doing what we do, and especially as we have the privileges and all the different things, as we understand. Our country isn't like it used to be. we're all divided up, that's true, because we got an older generation that understand and want to stand and keep it, and we got a new generation that doesn't know what we're talking about, that what we're talking about, the people are talking about, and they've been educated for years in how to be a socialist and everything. That's why 51% of our country is socialist. That's if that's true, if that's the right statistic, that's high. So we got a division. But let's go back to here. That's one thing. But we weren't paying attention. We weren't paying attention back here. Now here we are, and we have this. And that, so we adjust to this. And then we go to this, where we are now. Here is not here. We aren't here anymore. We're here. And you have to be careful you don't drag some of the baggage with you of what you understood back here, because it doesn't fit up here. It isn't found. You're not going to find it. That doesn't mean your morality and relationship to God isn't. That's true. But the rest of the things we tend to remember when milk was 10 cents a gallon or something, see? Now it'll be $50 a gallon, whatever. So it isn't this, so you have to be careful and adjust where we're going. Now, think of what we read in Jeremiah 29. God gave him the plan, 70 years, it has to be, and all of it's going to work out. So God has a wonderful plan, is soon coming, and we're going to have to go and work it out. So you have to understand that. So that we under what was the thing that was going to keep him encouraged? Not listening to everybody and all wrapped up in fear and mask and everything, all tied up in everything. Not listening to that and half of that's out there. So how do we overcome that? We don't. That's the trouble. We don't overcome it. It's just there. It's going to go away. So now we're going to have to what? Look to God, to his plan. And we're going to go along with it. That's what the believers need. Jeremiah was telling them. Go along with his plan and let Babylon be Babylon and all these different things, even in the tribulation. And let all these things are going to happen. Let them happen. They're going to happen. So you're staying with God in the process of the journey, and you adjust all the way, and God's going to take care of the human heart that's trusting him all the way down the corridor of time. He's going to do that. So you're going to do that. And as you're doing that, you'll proceed quite comfortably. But if you get caught up here, you're worried, and then you're going to get here. What are you going to do at this point if you're worried here? If you think this is bad, what are you going to do when it gets here? And then what are you going to do when it gets here? What are you going to do then? Well, I got to be moving, so I'm adjusting. I'm adjusting so that I'm hanging in there. God, it has to work out. Now, if going back to the cross, we did it last night, I guess. In the process, it was one thing to be with our Lord for 3 1/3 years and to be with him. All the way, that was fine. Took care of everything. We had no bills. We had no sickness. We had no needs whatsoever in any way. So now we're going to come, and he's up in a room, and it's different, and we know we've crossed the Jordan, and he's going to go to the cross. Well, then we're worried. But then it's there. We're sad. And then we read it on Sunday in John. And God said, You thought you were sorrowful in the upper room because I told you I'm going to go out to the cross. You guys haven't even started being sorrowful. When you get out there, you are really going to weep and lament. And using just one thing. Here's our Lord, as they knew him, walking down, beaten up, bloody, battered, carrying that cross. What would you think then? What would you think of your master? See? And it gets worse. Because then they crucify him. And that's worse. They all fled. They crucified him. It got worse. But it had to get worse to get better. And if he didn't do the sequence, he wouldn't have gone to the cross, he wouldn't have risen again, and you and I couldn't be saved. So we got to follow him. That's what Israel needs, the believing remnant, to hang in there. False prophets are saying, the false priests, they're saying all kinds of garbage in the name of God, etc. And we're hearing all kinds, you need a way of fear about this, and mask about that, and poison about this, and all kinds of things that are happening. The list is endless at the moment. Globally, not just nationally, globally. Wow. So we can't get a lot of help because the world, here we are in this country right here. We got the problems. The trouble is, all around this building are the countries of the world, and they got the same problems and sometimes more so. So there's no help. We can't yell help. And if we leave God out, where are you going to get help? And I was with a doctor today, just getting a physical, I guess, something. And in the process, he said that. I thought that was pretty good. The trouble is they've left God out. We're talking. We haven't done anything with God. We haven't included God. Where's God? We got a problem. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 John. In closing, I hope you got a little bit. You have to understand why it's there. You got to understand that so you don't get all over the place. So you hang in there. I don't know. It has to be. It has to be. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, another thing that may help in at this point, an example, I just thought of it. When I was with the doctor, he was looking at things, and when I was in the hospital with those different things, and they had all these different things listed, you know, when they took the big pictures of your insides and all that, and all things. And I gave him a little list. I said, here's this list. I said, I don't even know what the words are. So I said, can you interpret this? What do I need to do next to stay alive? And he read them through like this. And he said, when you get old, that's why you're like you are. Because you're old. It's nothing new. Do you understand? Your body parts aren't new. It's like having a car that's 1 year old and you've kept it for 25 years and it just isn't the same. It's a wonderful car, but it isn't the same. So God, what are we doing? We've got to look to God. That's right. So therefore, 1 John, what do we know? Picking up, please, without doing all the context. If I can, verse 24. And what's it about? It's about getting deceived. Chapter 2, verse 22. 2 and 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, Spirit of God, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And, verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Where is eternal life? Verse 27. But the anointing, the setting apart, rubbing, the consecrating the priest, the king, and the prophet, consecrating them. And the anointing which you have received of him divideth in you. And you need not that any anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, what do we know? We know it from Sunday school, in the morning, a study in John. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth is what? When you receive him, he's going to bring, that's why you have the Gospels, that's why you have the Epistles, that's why you have the book of Revelation. The Spirit of God's going to put all that together for us by way of the apostles, etc. He's going to do that. And in the process of putting it all together, the Spirit of God said, listen, and I, by the way, I'm the one that is the truth. Who has the truth? He has the truth. He is the truth. So, who do I have to listen to? Who do I have to get tied up in? Well, what's the answer? No, I need to what? The end of verse 27. Even that you abide in him. What are you going to do? Now watch how hard it is. The branch is to just abide to the vine. That's all it's to do. And the winter's coming, right? And the leaves, the pretty leaves. But the branch is what? Gonna stay there? Gonna stay just like that? And the winter comes and the wind blows and gets cold and ice could form on the limb. But the branch just abides. That's what it does. Now, God, how are we going to do it? I told you to abide in me. I'm the truth. That's what we read in Romans 1:25. Instead of honoring the God of truth, they dishonored him, took it away. He's the God of truth. So I'm going to get truth. I have the truth. So who do I get? I don't want to get tied up on my mind and heart for whatever reasons. I don't want to get tied up. So God, I'm going to look to you and trust you and rest in you and your word as much as I understand it. And God, you understand it. So that makes it easy. So God, here I am. And I'm going to look to you. And therefore, I'm going to abide. And God, I don't know the answer, but you do. And when I'm not sure, when in doubt, rule of thumb. When in doubt, don't. Rule of thumb. Safe rule. When in doubt, don't. Let it lock itself in. And God, help us. So it's a wonderful thing. So we don't have to do anything. We just have to go and trust God. And make sure you don't go to Harvard. And if you do, boy, don't go to any chaplain. Wow.